All right.
Now, Adriana, what is your question? I was very trusting, wasn't I?
So, you know, you've been teaching me a lot about Catholicism and things that I've never known.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you be Catholic and Christian? I mean, because some of the things that you've been, you know, teaching me in this class, it's not very Christian, you know?
Oh, well.
It's a lot of contradiction, in my opinion.
There are a few Catholic priests that are saved. I know of two or three that are saved. If you believe what Catholicism teaches, you're not going to get to heaven. If you really believe it and really trust it.
Right.
How do you get saved? You get under conviction by what? The preaching of the Word and the Holy Spirit of God. You ask, you get under, and then you, now they do have the right. Jesus is God's Son. But Mary is not an intercessor, is she? That's wrong, isn't it? So that really, and you pray to Mary, you pray to Mary and you don't pray to God. How in the world are you ever going to get to God if you pray to Mary? See? So these things are very important, and a lot of people have never heard any of this at all. This is just total brand new to them. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million people through the Dark Ages. They had a tremendous amount of power. They took the Bible from people's hands. There was no tolerance to anybody else at all. They killed and they conquered by the sword. And today we have their baby sister doing the same thing. That's Islam. And we're going to get in a little bit of that tonight, just a little bit. We're going to compare what Islam talks about Jesus and what the Bible says about Jesus. Okay? Did I answer your question a little bit?
Yeah.
Yes, I know people that are Catholics that are saved. I had people come to my class. I had one man came to my class for about 5 years, and he went back in the Catholic Church as a missionary because he said, those people need to be saved. He had a great burden to go back and to reach those people. He said, I'm going to reach my priests, first of all. You know, I want them. They're going to be leading God's people. They need to be saved. But there's so many things in the Catholic Church and the doctrines of the Church. In 1123, they invented the doctrine of celibacy, which has caused nothing but havoc ever since. Just get rid of it. That's not from God, you know. Confession, oracular confession, condolences, none of this is of God. Purgatory, this doesn't have anything to do with God. That's what Luther and Calvin wanted to do, was clean it all up and reform it. That's the Reformation. You know, they wanted to reform the church, the Catholic Church. But they still didn't get it all right because they didn't understand anything but state church. The church and the state were one. You know, that's the problem. Did I answer it a little bit?
I mean, would you even call it a Christian religion then?
By most standards, no. It's not really a Christian religion. For a Christian religion, you got to be saved. There are some Seventh-day Adventists that are saved, but it's not a Christian religion. I doubt very seriously there are any saved Mormons, because, boy, I tell you what, it's hard to reach them. Jehovah's Witnesses, I've had converts in my classes from Jehovah's Witnesses. You cram the Bible down their throat, and they either accept it or reject it, and if they accept it, then they change. We've had quite a few conversions of Jehovah's Witnesses in this church, a lot of converted Catholics, just thousands. I've had, probably in my life, at least 500 Catholics converted in my own personal life, at least that many. I don't know how many. One family in this church, a Montreal family, I don't know whether you know any of those. I mean, all of those. The very first one to be saved was Levi, or Levi in Montreal, and it was just domino. Like that whole, and they're tremendous workers here in this church, teachers, workers. Once they get, you know, they already believe the Bible, even though they don't use it. Mm-hmm. They believe it. They believe in God. They believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in the Father. And they just got them all into separate gods. Once you tell them, then it all falls together. And boy, they just, if you want to go listen to one sermon, there was a whole group of Catholics in the congregation in 1980. That's a long time ago. I know it's before most of you were born, or some of you. I preached the day I visited hell. You go listen to that sermon on on sermon audio or whatever, discovertheword.com. And there was a lot of, the altar was filled up with Catholics that day. A lot of Catholics were saved that day. I preached on hell. Yes.
What does the Crusades, or do the Crusades have anything to do with what you're talking about, the Catholics killing?
That is the Catholic Church killing. The Crusades were.
It's attributed, at least from what I've heard, attributed to Christians.
They were not Christians. The Catholic Church was just like Islam today. Islam is not in any way godly. Let's put it that way. It's not godly. It's godless. In all reality, it's godless. They went in. They believed in conquering by the sword, and they were killing Muslims. The Muslims would kill them, and they'd kill the Muslims. But the Muslims, you know, Muhammad, and we're going to study that just as we go a little bit further. We're going to compare what Islam says about Jesus. But the Crusades and the Inquisition. The Inquisition was torture. And they killed so many Baptists during that time. I mean, they were killing a lot of Muslims, but they were killing Baptists. They were killing every other religious system. They destroyed it. It was what we call ethnic and genocide. That was it. Yeah.
From what I've heard and from the information I gathered just along the way is that they lump it together as all religions have their, I guess, a black eye, and they've involved with, you know, look back in the Crusades, the Christians, they killed all these people.
They weren't Christians.
Well, yeah. That's what...
Yeah, but they were... If you study church history, the Catholic Church is the Christians. When I went to the Middle East in 75 and 76, they asked me if I was a Christian. I said, yes. Oh, you believe in the Father, Son, and you believe in four gods. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Mary. You know, because that's... When they say Christian, they think it's Catholic. Now, Mohammed did know Baptist. Those people, he wasn't afraid of. And they didn't bother him that much. But they were always pacifists in history. The Mennonites are from, they're Baptist, you know. They were Christians. These people were Christians. I'm gonna have to teach another class on church history. But if you want to go, there's 26 classes on church history. You can study. Have you done that yet? No. All right. Have any of you? Any? No. You have? All right. She did. Pamela did some. Roger, did you? I mean, Corey, have you done a little bit of that? Or yeah. Did you learn something? It'll just blow your mind. Because I go from the Garden of Eden this way. And talk about religious persecution all the way down through. False religion will not tolerate truth. It won't. It will not tolerate. If you're off on the left field, you're going to kill everybody else. It's not going to happen. 17 verse 2 is where we are. John, the Gospel of John, kata iwane. Kata iwane means what? According to John. Little preposition. According to John. They want it. What does John mean? What does John mean?
A llama.
Huh?
A llama.
A dove. A dove. A dove. That's what we... Peaceful dove. That's what John means. Dove.
John means paloma.
Dove.
Oh, paloma is Spanish for dove. I'm sorry.
Wombly in Lakota. Okay. all birds are womblies in Lakota, by the way. And in Hebrew, all birds are birds. That's it. Womblies. Wing flappers. All right. Any other questions? Did that get you started off tonight and make your little brains fly? Okay. I want you to these are good questions. Kathos. Edokos. Auto. Exousion. Passe. Sarkos. Hina. Pon, ho, didokos, auto, dose, autos, zoe, aionion. That one word there is very beautiful. Exousia. Exousia. We're going to look that one up. Just as you have given to him authority, exousia. on page, I should have had this opened up, on page 146 on the Analytical Greek Lexicon, if you want to write that down below there, 146, I'm going to read this to you because this is something that we need to remember at all times. Now, the world's idea about Jesus is what? Mostly. He was a good man or a prophet or whatever. But that isn't what Jesus was, is it? Jesus is God, Jehovah, the Creator in flesh. The rest of the world looks at Jesus as way off yonder, or God way off yonder. You can't ever touch God. He's too high and too holy to be touched by you, he can't be touched by you, and you can't touch him. Totally separate, far off, too holy to be touched. But we have a God that loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. God became flesh so he'd be related to us to redeem us to himself. Okay? Now it says here, just as you have given to him authority all of all flesh, over all flesh. Look at that. Have you got your little book with you tonight?
I sure do.
All right. In just a minute, I'll have you come up here and read that to me. Exousia comes from out of it. There is nothing in this world that is more powerful than exousia. It means power, ability, faculty, efficiency, energy, authority, rule, dominion, jurisdiction, right, authority, full power, privilege, prerogative. To exercise authority and power over anyone and anything. No limits. Outside of limits is what it means. Beyond any limits. Unlimited authority and power. To possess independent control over everything. Now, what is that? We have an omnipotence of Christ. Omnipotence of Christ, omnipowerful. Okay? He's omnipotent. You have a question?
Yes. How do you pronounce that again?
Exousia.
That's not the same as Excelsius.
Oh, no.
And then Excelsius Deo, and I never really understood what that meant.
Yeah, okay. Exousia is a Greek word. Mm-hmm. Exousia. Ex. All right, it's like that. And then. Exousion. All right, well, it's right down there. Exousion. It's got an alpha and a nu on the end of it. And that's in an accusative case. The object. Okay? That means it's an object. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Vocative is case what? Come on, brilliant scholars. What is vocative? Sharon? Huh? No. Vocative case. The case of address. The case of address. Pamela. Sharon. When I say that, then I'm talking to you. Your name would be in the vocative case, the case of address. Accusative is, I'm going to hit him. Him. Out tone. They're going to get power. I'm going to do something to you. Okay? Just as you have given to him, dative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. Authority, accusative, singular, all unlimited power, no limits, over all flesh, in order that all which you have given to him, he may give to them life eternal. Now, he has all power. Now, when Jesus finished his ministry on earth, he had conquered Satan, hadn't he? He'd come down in the earth in a human body. God became flesh. Sarkos. That's the word right there. John 1:14. Kaiho logos sarks agenito. And the word of the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. And we keep seeing it. John keeps seeing that word all the way through. You just circle that word sarkos down there. That's flesh. Sarks. Flesh. Carne. Alright? Flesh and blood. God became flesh and blood so he could redeem us. And not only that, so he could overcome Satan in his territory. Remember the parable that he gave? That you go into a strong man's territory, what do? You disable him. You go into his own land and you disable him. That's what, whose world is this today, still right now? Satan. By, in this kairos, in this season, it is his. And the Lord, surely and all, and he's working through you people today. Through you, he's going to bring the whole world under his subjection. Because the Lord's church, now here we have all these churches that we have out here. The Lord said, I'll be building my church and the gates of hell shall not be able to wrestle it down. Charles Hayes Russell, Joseph Smith, Carter Ted Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, all these people said the church went out of existence. Many church historians said the church went out of existence. It became so corrupt. The Catholic Church is not the church. You go back in 250 A.D., yes, the Catholic Church evolves into the Baptist Church. All Christians were, all primitive Christians were Baptists in doctrine and practice. Okay? They have come all the way down to the ages. And when I teach about it, I tell you the names of these people, and I show you them in every century as you come down who these people were that were holding on to the truth. All right? Just as you have given to him unlimited authority over all flesh, in order that which you have given to him, he may give to them life eternal. No other religion gives you eternal life right now. Catholicism does what? You have seven sacraments, and you have to practice those sacraments and pray and pray and pray and do penance and do all this stuff all the time. And you still don't know whether when you die, whether you're going to go into the beatific vision, do you? Because they may have to pray you're out of purgatory, which they invented also. You know, that's a way to get a little bit more money, you know. Now, they built St. Peter's out of that business. All those things. Let's go to one more verse now, 17:3. Yes, brother.
There are a lot of people today who are teaching that that authority, that same power, passes through Christians. Have any comment about that?
The church is the administrator of God's kingdom, and no one can overpower the church in this age. Now, churches have risen and fallen. There is no church, no true New Testament church building that you can trace all the way back. I have been to one of the oldest church buildings in the New Testament. And that church is, where was it? Where's one of the oldest church buildings that ever existed?
Turkey.
Where?
Is it Turkey?
No.
Greece. Syria.
It's in Syria. Damascus, Syria, where Apostle Paul was baptized. I have been to that church in Damascus, Syria, where he was baptized, the church building where they met. Okay? Now, you have to remember, that is, that they didn't really meet in church buildings, but this was a person's house there where they met in his home. It wasn't a church building, but later on, it was identified as the place where the Apostle Paul was baptized, and this is where he went. This is where that church met. The church is the people. The buildings, you're not going to go and find a church building. If you go to Rhode Island, you can find two old Baptist churches there. They go back to 1638 and 1639. Some of the first free Baptist churches and the first free colony in the American colony where you had freedom of religion. You could even be an atheist there if you wanted to. Had a lack of sense. Whatever, you know. But there aren't any old. But that power is in the churches, it's your kind of glory that is leading that church today. It's still leading that church today. That's why you have all truth. If you want to go back to the Orthodox Christianity, go back to true Baptist churches. They will teach Orthodox Christianity, but some of them are sliding off so far in every direction that it's... We're in the Laodicean church age, aren't we? What does that mean? Laodicea. Nope. What does Laodicea mean? Come on, Greek scholars. Laos dikia. Laos.
People.
Dikaios. Justice. They will make out what's wrong in their eyes in this age. We will act like the world so we can get the world. We'll do all the things that we are doing, and we're going to do this in the name of God. And that's what the Bible, the book of Revelation, said was going to happen in the last days. You couldn't tell the church from the world. It's a worldling church. It is a lukewarm church. Lukewarm. But Laodicea means people make out their own minds how they're going to do it. And that's where the churches start changing things to fit the world in that last age. Halte, day, eston, he, oionios, zoe, hina, genoskosin, si, ton, mono, aletinon, theon, kai, hon, apestelos, esu, christum. And this it is the eternal life, that they may know. Look at that down there. How do we know this is voluntary? How do we know this is voluntary? Voluntary to know.
May or may not.
That's in what mode?
Voluntary.
Nope. That's subjunctive. Hebrew.
Subjunctive.
See, I teach him Hebrew and Greek both. Gets mixed up sometimes. That they may know. May or may not. It's your own volition. The grace of God, we're saved by grace. Totally by grace. The calling is of God. And we're saved by grace, period. But there is a volition in every person's heart. You're not born to be saved, as some people believe. You're not born to be damned, as some people believe. But you have a voluntation. There is volition in you. You believe. You surrender. You surrender to God. That we may know that the only true God, the only true God, and whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. All right? The only true God. There's only one true God. A lot of people worship gods of their own imagination. Of their own imagination. Sharon, do you have that here? Can you read?
Two and three?
Yes, 2 and 3 for me, please. 2 and 3. This is an Amplified Bible.
Just as you have granted him power and authority over all flesh, all humankind, now glorify him so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. It means to know, perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent.
Thank you very much. Now, we have quite a wrestling match in the world today. Who is the right religion? What is the right religion? And who is the right prophets of God? According to the Bible itself, now, I'm going to tell you something. No other book is like the Bible. The book is infallible. The Bible is infallible. You go back in the Old Testament and you start reading and you'll find, we're studying Genesis right now, the creation versus evolution of heaven's earth on Sunday afternoon. All it will do is this tremendously slap you in the face and show you the creative powers of God and how intricate was his plans with man. Unbelievably intricate. Every medical fact in the Bible is true today. More true than it was then, because they didn't understand it then. It was true then, but they didn't understand it. Okay? Every prohibition that was there was for their health. If you wanted to go march an army, people used to read the cleanliness code and the law, because if you don't follow that, you're going to have sick soldiers. Okay? And so they would do that, and they could fight. You've got to have a marching army. You've got to have people who can march. If they're all sick, it's not going to do you any good. The Bible has prophecy. The Bible prophesied in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 that Jesus Christ, would God's Son, Jehovah himself, would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. Jehovah would. Jehovah means what? That Hebrew word. Here is the name for God in Hebrew right there. That's it. It comes from Hayah, which means to become. He who shall become. John 1:14. Kai halogos sarx agenito. And the word are the Jehovah flesh he became. Simple as that. Why did he become flesh? To redeem us. For God so loved the world. The whole cosmos. He's not going to just redeem mankind. He's going to redeem the whole material universe again. The material universe was tainted when Satan destroyed it back there in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. See, it tells you what happened eternity past in the Bible. What other book could do that? Moses as he wrote the first five books of the Bible. And he goes back in Genesis the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th chapter, and he tells the whole history of the world where everybody was populated. Do you think Moses has been to all those places to know, find out where all these people went? How do you think he knew? By inspiration. By inspiration. How did he know all these things? How did medical science and physical science and all of this stuff work out? Remember I told you about the blood. The blood came through the man. That's why a woman could have a child without being tainted in sinful nature, because man puts a sinful nature. He's put the blood. As in Adam, as in one blood, we all sin. We're all condemned. But through Jesus Christ, we're made alive. Christ didn't have Adam's blood in him. He had the blood he breathed into Adam before it was tainted. Jesus was able to sin because he was human. But not once did he do that, because he came to redeem us. No other reason. Let me read you something from the Holy Quran, okay? About Jesus. Let's look at the world. This is one world view of Jesus. Well, if I can find my place where I had it here. This is the Idiot's Guide to the Quran. Okay? I'm going to read you some of that and then some of this. All right? The Idiot's Guide to the Quran. I got the Idiot's Guide to a lot of things. Judaism and everything else. Plus all of their writings. And I have their writings, too. I don't have all of their commentaries on everything. You know, Muhammad, let's go back and... He was born in 570 A.D. How many of you know anything about Muhammad? Anybody? How many of you don't? All right, this is our greatest conflict we have in the world today. These are Abraham's children, okay? We need to know a little bit about this. According to tradition, Muhammad was born in 570 B.C., in Mecca. His father died before he was born. And his mother died or was very sick. He was given to a Bedouin family, and they raised him for the first 5 years. They brought him back to his mother. She died in a little while out in the oasis. You know, they were going to go have a trip. And his grandfather took him, and his grandfather died. And then his rich uncle took him and raised him the rest of the way, and he was a merchant. And they ran back and forth. They had camel trains going into Damascus, Syria, and back. Okay? Now, this is 570 A.D. I don't know why I said B.C. or A.D., but this is A.D. This is after Christ. This is 570 years A.D. Jesus had already come, died, and gone, and there were churches all over. And where was the oldest church that I told you that I've been into? Damascus, Syria. And that camel trail went right to Syria. Now, they say that Muhammad couldn't read and write, so that he couldn't read anything about any Christian doctrine. Let's get back over here to 500 A.D. They had already made the scriptures outlaw them. How was the gospel communicated? Orally by words, preaching of the gospel. Do you think possibly that Muhammad might have been exposed to Christianity? Absolutely. He even wrote about it. And he wrote about what he didn't think he liked about that. Now, he didn't have to read it. They say, see, he was ignorant. He was illiterate. He couldn't read and write. He said he couldn't write with his right hand. You know, they didn't do anything with their left hand. They wrote with their right hand. All this kind of business. All right, in 594, he marries a rich older woman that is extremely the most wealthy woman there. All right? And her name was Khadijah. The wealthiest woman in Mecca. Now, all the time he's going back and forth, and he's been exposed to Christianity, and guess what else? Aleppo, which is right not very far from Damascus. What is that? A Judaistic background. So he knows about Jews, and he knows about Christians. He's exposed to both of them, and you're not going to be around a Jew very long before you hear what's going on. And by the way, they didn't have radio and television back then. What did they do? They would sit around and listen to anything new. Okay, so that's what he did when he was there. Now, they'll deny that he did this, but history tells you differently. His own writings defy that. In 610 AD, he had his first revelation in a cave. Now, many psychologists think that Muhammad had epilepsy. And from the description of these visions that he had, he was going into epileptic seizures. And when he come back, he would have these visions that he was supposed to be remembering and everything. Later on, he was having visions at will and at revelations at will. In 615 A.D., his group were persecuted there in Mecca. Now, let me tell you a little bit about... Is this interesting to you? Mecca was an ancient pagan shrine where Mecca is today. Now, you... by the way, Catholicism was not tolerant, and Islam is definitely not tolerant at all. No tolerance, okay? Zero tolerance. By 615 A.D., they had to leave Mecca. Now, every year, all of these Arab people came there, and by the way, they all you know, the Muslim world will tell you that there was no law in the Middle East. What laws were very powerful at that time, which really closely relate to Islam and closely relate to Moses' law?
Tribal.
What was it called?
Oh, Hammurabi.
The laws of Hammurabi and the laws of Khammurabi. Hammurabi and Khammurabi, two separate ones. Hammurabi was the Assyrian laws. And then the laws of Khammurabi were the ones that were in Haran and all over the Middle East. They had basic laws. They were there. Islam says that the whole world over there was just nothing but paganism and no law and order, no nothing. There was definitely law and order. Definitely law and order. But they weren't intolerant. They were intolerant to others, and they were killing. They were like savage little tribes, killing one another and raping and pillaging and robbing and everything. They would go and do this to each other, all right? They still are, aren't they? Has that ever changed? They're still doing that over there today. You've been there.
Yeah.
They're still doing that today. They were forced to leave, and they went to a place called Medina. Okay? And they stayed there for a while, and they went in there, and guess who they ran into? Medina?
Jews
and Christians. And there was great Jewish villages around there, lots of Jewish villages around there. And they made a contract with them, they say, in Islam. You know, there's not really any historical deal, but they do have some old contracts that they mustered up and said that they made a contract with these people. They would respect each other's religion and all this kind of stuff, and they would not harm each other, and they were going to get along real fine. And here is Muhammad coming in there, and he's totally helpless. And all these other people could have gone and squashed him right away. But they made a covenant with him and let him live. Well, then his tribe, since he had betrayed his own people, they came to kill him. Because he left out of there. He left out of there with a lot of valuable things, a lot of trade, everything else. His family, this tribe he was from, went back to ancient times. But every year in Mecca, all the Bedouins would come in there and they'd sign a truce. When they'd come in there, they could march around this black stone. Here is like, it's like this. They march around here. Of course, that's in the middle. I didn't get it quite right. They march around this thing round and round and round and round and round. And originally, all on the walls around here were all these different pagan gods. And then one god, which they called Allah. That wasn't anything new either. Okay? They kept coming to this place, which would later be called Medina, and trying to kill Muhammad. Three different times they did. And every time he supposedly had a miraculous general and all this kind of stuff. The last time, they sent such a large army after him that he knew, and there was only one way in there, and he dug this deep trench. Well, the Jews were afraid to protect him or anything else, and so And they wouldn't fight with him. They wouldn't help him. They just wanted to live in their own villages and let bygones be bygones and just you stay here. This was our land. Now Mohammed has begun setting up his laws. His laws, how they're going to live together. They came down here, and I think it was 100,000 people came after him. And they couldn't get through the ditch. Well, he whipped them finally. And then he turned around and turned on the Jewish tribes, the Jewish villages. And one tribe, one village he killed. He got them all around. I mean, these aren't fighting. These aren't people that are going to kill him. You know, they wouldn't help him. They just stood back and just said, you know, we're out of this. So he went in there and he got all the men out, and it was 8,000 men. He said, what should we do to them? And they slaughtered every one of them. They killed them all, took everything they had. Slaughtered 8,000 men. Chopped them up in pieces. If you look in the Islamic history, you'll see them chopped all up. Bodies, arms, and things. They chopped them all up. This happened. Really happened. By 622, of course, he had migrated to Medina. And that's where it says that he established the first constitution. And that's where they broke off from the old ways. To the 622, this is when they broke off from the old ways. His wife kept encouraging him that that he was a prophet of God. And when Allah spoke to him, he spoke to him very strange words. He said, read. And he said, what? I don't know how to do that. And he said, read. Again. And then the third time he said, read. He said, what would you have me read? The last time. And so, and the word Islam means to surrender or to submit. You know, that's what they believe. 624, there was a battle. 625, there was a battle. 627 was when that great big force came and they dug that ditch. 630 is the conquest of Mecca. He goes back now. And he makes a contract with those people at Mecca. They want him dead, but he goes back and he's so powerful now, and he's ruling. This is the largest. Muhammad rules the largest force in the whole known world. Okay, and he goes back there, and they let him come back in. Well, when he gets in there now, they're wanting to come in and worship their gods. Now, there's one thing that there's still a death warrant out for this guy. He wrote the Satanic Verses. How many of you ever heard that? It's the Satanic Verses. He wrote a book on that, and he said that Muhammad, when he was going in there, that he got this revelation. And it says all these religions can live together. The pagans and everything. Everybody can come in here and they go around all together and everything's going to be okay. And then a while later, he said, he got another revelation that said, that was from Satan, not from me. Don't you do that. You know, you can't mix this with that. So he went in there and he basically, he absolutely took all of their land. He took all of the land and declared possession of all of it and the whole of Mecca. And he said, I will let you leave alive. Just leave everything you've got. You can leave alive. So they were banished from their own lands. Banished from their own lands. And that's how he took over Mecca. And then he went in there and chiseled all the gods off. And now, ever since that period of time, ever since 630 A.D., the Muslims have had power over Mecca. In 632 A.D., he dies in Medina. Now, you can get all this and you can read all that. I just gave you a short recitation. Oh, one other thing. One other thing I forgot. This is the most unusual thing. Get this. I want you to listen to this well. Nobody is ever forced to be Islam. They don't force you to believe. But what does history tell? You voluntarily become a Muslim. Only. And there has to be two witnesses. You've been there. There is no tolerance. you can't even live around Mecca. I mean, you go in there, you're a dead man. Okay? Islam is a religion focused powerfully on the monotheism and on the notion of submission to God. Islam means submission. Civil order, where there had been no order before. The law of, they have to ignore history. The Bible doesn't go contrary to history. Did you know that? You go back and you study archaeology, and you'll find out that archaeology agrees with the Bible. You can't do that with the Book of Mormon. The historical things that they're claiming here is not factual history. It's not factual history. They claim that the Quran is the only perfect book ever printed because it's God is the author. We say that the Bible, we've got 66 books that we have canonized in the Bible that are perfect. Perfect. Tense, mode, and voice are perfect. But where Mohammed disagreed with the Bible, he took what he learned from them and just did this with it. I like this, I like this, I like this. He said that Adam built the first shrine in Mecca. And that Abraham went back there. Now, this is not what the Bible says. Abraham went to where and offered his son? To Jerusalem, on Moriah. And he offered his son on Mount Moriah. Okay? The Quran says that Abraham took Ishmael, not Isaac, and he went to Mecca. And he offered Ishmael on this rock there in Mecca. And then God told him not to do it, and then he built a shrine there again. Abraham built a shrine, okay? Civil order was invented by Mohammed. A system of humane warfare. You go in and you capture a village and you kill all of them. Murder them. I mean, that's ridiculous. Also, today, these people are blowing things up. We've been attacked. America has been attacked by Islam in the name of Allah. But they all say, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. But what did they do? We have freedom of religion, but what about Mecca? What about Saudi Arabia, if you have freedom of religion? Oh, it's not us. We are over here. That's not right, is it? An indispensable, unbelievable amount of personal example of religious tolerance and freedom. Tireless concern for the welfare of the poor and the disadvantaged. And the last thing is that you have to surrender your will to Allah and go to Him. And then they will tell you what His will is. They will interpret His will for you. Now let's go to the Quran for a moment. The Quran. Are you interested in this? Is this you learning something? Because we're pitting Muhammad's idea against the Jesus of the Bible. Now I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm going to tell you something because that's absolute factual. O Muhammad, we do reveal it. Now, it tells about Mary conceiving and having this child, and that he's raised up. To thee, O Muhammad, do we reveal it, for thou wast not with them when they cast lots with reeds which of them should rear Mary, nor wast thou with them when they disputed about it. Remember when the angel said, Mary, verify God announces to thee the word from within, from him. His name shall be Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, illustrious in the world and in the next, and one who those who have near access to God. He shall speak to men alike when in the cradle and when grown up, and he shall come, and he shall be one of the just. That's not what the Bible says, is it? We just read that he's God. This is Jehovah in the flesh. He's not a prophet. He is God. How, O my Lord, shall I have a son when the man, Mary says, when I have not known a man, and no man has touched me? And he said, thus God will create what he will, and he decreed a thing, and he said, be, and it is, and will teach him the book, and the wisdom, and the law, and the evangel, and he shall be an apostle to the children of Israel. Now have I come, he will say to you, with a sign from your Lord. Out of clay I make you from, as it were, the figure of a bird, and I will breathe into it, and it shall become by God's life. In other words, what they said is that Jesus made little birds, and he breathed life into them, and they flew away. This is some of the traditions. This is from the Quran, okay? You remember that. I will heal the blind and the leper, and by God's leave I will quicken the dead, and by God's will, God's leave, I will tell you what to eat and what to store up in your house. As truly in this will I be assigned to you if you are believers, and come to attest the law which was before me. Then he goes on down here, and he said, the Jews plotted and God plotted, but those who plot, is God the best? Remember when God said, O Jesus, verily I will cause thee to die. God, Allah said to him, he said, I'll cause you to die, and will take you up to myself and deliver you from those who believe not. In other words, he didn't cry on the cross of Calvary. He didn't die on the cross. Without him dying on the cross, there is no sacrificial death. There is no redemption of mankind, is there? Now, the Bible just over and over and over says that he died on the cross of Calvary. History says he died on the cross of Calvary, doesn't it? I mean, some of you were in my class when I read all these historical accounts about Jesus dying, all the miracles that he performed and everything else. I will deliver thee from those who believe not, and I will place those who follow thee above those who believe not until the day of the resurrection. And he said, and these signs and these warnings do rehearse to thee. Verily, Jesus is as Adam in the sight of God. A created person like Adam in the garden. He's a prophet. You know, Adam was a prophet. Jesus is a prophet, that's all. Just a prophet. Verily, Jesus is Adam in the sight of God. He created him of dust, and he said to this, and he was. Now, and he says, say to the people of the book. Say to the people of the book. He just keeps going on that, down this way. But now this is the clincher. This is the real separation. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. I beseech not a man that God should give him the scriptures and the wisdom and the gift of prophecy, that then he should say to his fathers, be ye worshipers of me. Did Jesus say that? Yes, he did. He told them to worship him, didn't he? That he said, if you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father. He said here in John 17 chapter, I have all power. I have unlimited power. Be ye worshippers of me as well as of God, but rather be ye perfect in things pertaining to God, since the Scriptures have studied deep. In other words, what he says here, prophets are not as lords. What? Would he command you to become infidels after you have become Muslims? After you've become Muslims, have you... Now, if you worship Jesus, you have become an infidel. You have become a pagan. That's not what the Word says here, is it? Islam's idea of Jesus and the Bible's idea of Jesus are different, completely on different planets. They will worship no god but Allah. They say they don't worship Muhammad, but if you use his name in vain, if you draw a cartoon image, they're going to rebel all over the world. If you burn one page of a Quran, it's over with. It's a death sentence. If you write a book about him, it's a death sentence. Ayatollah Khomeini, that guy that wrote the satanic verses, there is still a contract out on his life unwithdrawn to this very day. 17 and verse 4 now. Now that we, let's look at our Jesus, okay? Let's look at our Jesus. Ego. Si adoxasso, epites geis, to ergon, teleusios, ho dadoskos, mu hina poieso. You I glorified upon the earth, the work. I glorified your work upon the earth. This is what Jesus said. This is his priestly, high priestly prayer. This is the Lord's prayer. This is the real Lord's prayer. Having finished and completed, which you have given to me to do. I've done it. It wasn't partially done. It was done. What was that thing that he was going to do? He was going to live. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was going to be raised partially in Egypt. God was going to call him back in the Nazareth. He was going to go to synagogue. He was going to make himself known. He was going to begin his messianic ministry when he was 30 years old, which is the age of the priest. All right. The age that a priest begins his ministry, he began. But he's our high priest, isn't he? He wasn't a Levitical priesthood. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yehuda. All right. Kainin. 17:5. Kai nin doxason me si pater para siauto te doxe he ekon pro tu ton cosmon ene para se. And now you glorify me, Father, with yourself, with the glory which I kept on having. How long did Jesus have that glory? John 1:1. Forever. All the way back. Who was the Creator? Who spoke the world into existence? Jesus did, according to Colossians, according to the Gospel of John. By the way, if you're a Muslim, you will not accept John. You will not accept any of John's writings. You will only accept 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You will only accept the book of Revelation. And you don't like the book of Colossians either. You know why? Because those books unmistakably say that Jesus is Jehovah God and the creator of the heavens and the earth. That he's what holds everything together. Now glorify, Father, that I had the glory with you, which I kept on having before the world came into existence. John 1:1. With you. Jesus is praying for his full restoration to his pre-incarnate glory when he walked with Adam in the garden, when he spoke the world into existence. He said, it's time, Father. This is it. But what else did he have to do in the meanwhile? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he cried, and he suffered for our sins. He suffered for our sins. And then he went to the cross of Calvary. He had to be beaten and slapped and insulted and everything else before that. And tried by the religion that he called out, that had become corrupt and that he was replacing already. It had already been replaced. His little church that would have this power, all authority, Matthew 28:18-20, Ephesians 3:21, Matthew 16:18. Peter, you're a little stone, and regardless of what the Catholic Church says, you're a little stone. But upon this gigantic foundational rock, I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell cannot wrestle her down. Cannot wrestle her down. Matthew 28:18-20. After you've been cast out, you know, I know that churches say, go ye therefore. That's not what it says, is it, Brother Roger? Mm-hmm. What's it say?
Get out of it.
After you've been cast out, after you've been run off, from where? Jerusalem. What do you supposed to? What is the commission? Not go. They weren't going to go. They were going to be run off. What is the commission? What is the command there? What's the imperative mode? Make disciples. Make disciples. Make habitual learners. And what do you do with those? The habitual learners, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And teaching them to guard with their lives all things that I have handed over down to you. And lo, pay attention, I'll be with you unto the end of the age. Muhammad didn't come, didn't need to come, neither did Joseph Smith, Garner Ted Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, Joseph Smith, nobody. Garner, not Charles Taze Russell either. Nor Luther, nor Calvin. That church would be here when he came back for it, right here. Okay? Going to come back. 17 and verse 6 now. Ooh. Ifana Rosa. Sue. Tu. Onoma. Tois. Anthropois. Us. Edokas. Moi. Ektu. Cosmo. Su. Eson. Kamoi. Autus. Edokas. Kai. Ton. Logon. Su. Tetrakan. This is our last verse. I have manifested, I put in the spotlight, you and your name. To the mankind, to the human beings. To the human beings. That's what we get our word anthropology right there is from that word anthropos. Our word anthropology comes out of the study of man. I've given your name, I've shown your power to the human beings. Of whom you have given to me, the ones you gave me. Right? Where did Jesus begin to call out his church? A little place called Circle, which was what? Galilee. All right? He called that church out. And these are the people that God gave to him, and one of them was the devil, wasn't he? Judas Iscariot. What does Iscariot mean? Man-ish. Man from Carioth, which was down by Hebron. That's where the giants were. All right? And he was a Sicari, too. He was a hitman. He was an assassin, a Jewish assassin. That's who Judas was. You have given to me out of the world. You gathered these out of the world and you gave them to me. To you, they kept on being, and me, them. And you have given the word of you, and they have kept it. They have guarded it. Look at that word there, from terio. That's the word in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You guard with your life, the word of God. Guard with your life. Do you have any questions? 17, 2 through 6. Do you have any questions? No?
A question unrelated to the passages
today. The what?
A question unrelated to the passages we just went over.
Yes.
But just a general question.
Uh-huh.
So I was listening, I'm trying to understand better, Luke 22, the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
And just before, what was his reasoning for telling them to sell their garments and buy swords?
Because there was going to be rough times ahead. When he sent them out on the limited commission, remember that? When he ordained the apostles, the first gift place in the church was what? Apostles. The church was in existence. And he sent the church out, some of the church out, 70 of the church he sent out on a missionary trip. Remember? And he told them what? Don't take anything with you. I'm going to provide. People are going to give to you as you come. And then he said, well, you go to a house and they won't receive it, shake off the dust from your sandals and go on. Okay? Now he tells them what? Get prepared because it's going to be rough because Matthew 28, 18 is going to happen. You're going to be scattered. So take a sword. You may have to defend yourself at times. Go out. Get ready. Take stuff. You're going to live a nomadic life. The church is going to be nomads now. Nomads. Because they're going to be chased from town to town to town to town to nation to nation to nation. All through all of those nations. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be scattered out. And then as you're being scattered, what? Make disciples. Make disciples. Teaching them to guard with their life those things that I've handed down. And, lo, I'll be with you until the end of the world. You won't cease to be. But he says, you're Peter, but upon this gigantic rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. What does it mean, the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down? It means the gates of hell will try. And false religion. False religion will never tolerate true religion. True religion never, never persecutes. You have freedom of religion. If you want to be an atheist, be an atheist. The only free colony in America was Rhode Island. The only place in the world where it was ever free to be anything. You could be anything. You didn't have to be a Baptist. It was a Baptist colony. But you sure didn't get, you weren't taxing any state churches. Taxes, they took every other colony they took out of your salary, they took the tithe to pay the pastors and build the churches. Not in Rhode Island. There wasn't any. The Baptists built their own churches. But each congregation was an absolute democracy. Thomas Jefferson, when he got the idea of democracy, you know why he got where he got to that idea of democracy? Sure wasn't from the Church of England or Catholicism or Luther or Calvin or those pilgrims. He went to a Baptist church business meeting, and he said, this is the purest form of democracy I ever saw in the world. So he did that. In the Europe, it was the kings and the princes that made all the decisions. You had the princes and the paupers, and they were that far apart. In America, they tried to level it out. Level it out. It wasn't perfect by any means. It wasn't perfect. The Constitution says, we the people. Remember that? We the people. You know where that term came from? The Iroquois Confederation of Faith, because the Indians had pure democracies from coast to coast. And they were pure forms of democracy, just like the church had. Pure forms of democracy. There was democracy, socialist democracies from one end of this country to the other. That was concentrated with it. They didn't understand it. They always wanted some... How many of you have heard of Indian princesses and Indian kings? There wasn't no such thing. But the Church of England tried to make them so they could sign a treaty. They had to have some chief. There weren't any. Chiefs were just the leaders. They were only leaders that time. They weren't like our representatives and senators and be taken care of the rest of life. They were elected right there, and if they didn't do a good job, they got fired. And if they were going to make a battle and you didn't want to go to the battle, you said, that's not part of my business. Go do what you want to. Geronimo went on many raiding parties. He couldn't... People only went with him because they wanted to. He couldn't make them. There wasn't any draft among Indians. All right? Pure democracies. All right. That help you a little bit?
Yeah.
Somewhat? All right. Give me a little world history and everything all rolled into one.
I have another one.
Okay.
A close to the same verse. It's just to clarify. So Jesus is... as God is omniscient.
Uh-huh.
In the prayer, in the Garden of Gethsemane, how is it that he prays for God's will to be done, but have the cup taken if it's from his own will?
Okay, now what's going to happen to Jesus? Is he going to leave this earth? How long is he going to be gone? Who's going to have to hold it together while he's gone? He was in a grave, wasn't he? He's in a grave. His body's in the grave. Could he protect his people? Could he protect them at all while he was in the grave? The Father and the Holy Spirit are going to have to do it. Where was Jesus all this time when this happened? Where was he? He was in Sheol, or Hades, or the paradise side of departed spirits. He went down there and he preached to them, it said, Peter said. He preached to them what? That I have overcome. That I did it. That I overcome it. And I'm going to take you out of here. And he took them to heaven. Many of them were resurrected at that time. Maybe all of them. We don't know. Theologically, I don't know whether all of the people in the Old Testament were resurrected right here or not at the resurrection of Christ. Some people say some of them were. This is the first fruits of the resurrection. It would make sense to me, theological sense, if he raised them all up. It said many of the saints walked in Jerusalem, didn't it? Saints. Who are the saints? Who were the saints? Jacob, Abraham, Moses, all these saints, maybe all of them. Some of them we know. And people witnessed that. And the Jews wanted to kill them. They wanted to kill Lazarus when he raised him. There's a contract out on Lazarus and Jesus both at one time. All right. Anything else?
That's my two questions.
Adriana, no? How about you? No? Young lady, you don't have anything? John?
Yeah, define saints. I always thought saint was a religious person who believed in God and died believing in him.
Hagios, that's the word saint. It comes from that and that. All right. Sharon, what's that mean?
Not.
What's that mean?
Not of earth.
Saint means not of earth. Simply not of earth. When you're born the first time, you're born of earth. Adam is your father. When you're born again, you're born of heaven. You're born from above. John, the third chapter. said you're born from above. And that's the word saint right there. That's what it literally means, not of earth. You're born from below the first time. Remember Nicodemus and all this business? Nicodemus got saved that day, I believe. He got convicted, too. The Lord laid it on him real hard. That was a hard, hellfire and brimstone sermon, Jesus talking to him. And the rest of the Pharisees, we know that only him and one other man believed, as far as we know. Anyway, when you're born in the world the first time, you're born of earth. When you're born again, you're born from above, and you're born not of earth. And so when you're a saint, everybody that's a believer is a saint because you're born from above. When you're born from above, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in your entity. You're a triune entity, just like God is. God created you in His image, body, soul, and spirit. Soul is the mind. The spirit is that which gives you life. And the body, you know. You're born with a spirit of rebellion in you. That is exiled at the point of salvation, and the Spirit of God is in you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit went all the way back to the garden in this way. All of those were indwelt with the Holy Spirit because that is the brand. That's the earmark for the resurrection. That's what marks you, marks your soul. Everybody's going to be resurrected. Without the triuneness of man, your soul and your spirit never sleeps. It never goes out of existence once you've been created in your mother's womb. You never go out of existence from that point in time on. You never go out of existence. Your body can die. But when the body dies and begins to decay and everything else, you're not a complete individual until God raises, puts that soul and spirit and body back together. That's why Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Why? For the resurrection. That city is for those resurrected. It's for the resurrected ones. All right? That answer? Yes, young lady. This is almost turning into Sunday night now.
Back to your little illustration on the Spirit. When we get the Holy Spirit, our spirit of rebellion is still there.
That's the Adamic nature of our soul and the body.
Because there's a,
but the Spirit is there, which gives you the conscience of right and wrong. Right. That's the Spirit that dwells
but
in.
But it's not like our sinful.
It doesn't turn us into a so-called priest.
Yeah, I mean.
No. We're all still sinners because of our fleshly nature and our soulish man, soul, the nephesh, the soul, the psyche. It's tainted with evil. But the spirit that's in us is not touched by evil. Lot vexed his righteous spirit that was in him. It was righteous, the spirit of God that was in Lot. As scoundrel as he was born again. And he vexed his righteous soul, spirit, where he lived. Diane, anything? No? Any of you want anything else? I don't want to turn you loose unfed here. Yes?
The Scripture talks about we're saved by grace alone.
Yes.
But also it talks about your deeds. We are going to count your deeds.
That's right. You're rewarded for your deeds. You're saved by grace. And everything that you do for the Lord, you're going to be rewarded for. You'll be paid for. And you'll have crowns and all this. Of course, it says we're going to throw them at Jesus' feet. But you will be rewarded. That's what God owes us something when we do something for Him. Did you know that?
Is that when they talk about storing your treasures
in heaven?
It's,
yes.
It's basically what you talk about is your deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Good to do.
All of those good deeds that those Pharisees did, they got the reward now. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, the Bible says. I really believe that, and that's a magnificent saying. Many little bitty people in churches are going to be greater than preachers. Just a little one. Because they're tremendous believers and extremely faithful. All right. That you got that one? That, all right. Anything else? Diane? No. Sharon, Mike, any of you? All right, I want you to go out and do something eternal. Who are we going to get up here to dismiss us? Chance, you want to come up here real quick and dismiss us in prayer? Good to have you in all the classes.
God Almighty, thank you for this evening together. Thank you for going through the Word and the no fear of persecution where we're at right now. We pray for those that do have the persecution in other countries, Lord. And Lord, we appreciate Dr. Jim and you helping us gather understanding, and thank you for Dr. Jim, and help us use these words we've learned tonight and go out and witness for you, Lord, in your name. Amen.